What is this?
It's 26 degrees.
What up, what up, what up? Welcome back to 26 Degrees, your Miami Hurricanes football barbershop talk. It's your boy, Larry, pulling up, man, ready to talk football. We only a couple months away, believe it or not. It's about that time, like, believe it or not. I'm already making plans, planning my Dallas trip, planning my Florida, the Lizard game when they coming into town, Florida Lizards. And I'm trying to organize for Notre Dame as well, man. And before you know it, it'll be here. But got the guys with me today. The real field general is here, of course. It wouldn't be right without him. X, say what's up to the people.
Yo, 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 what's good? What's good? Like he say, man, that thing is here, man. Shoot, summer camp starting next week.
Sheesh. It's a never stop thing, isn't it?
But you know, we're going to be talking about practice and game.
Yeah. Who's standing out early? Yeah, man. And we already just did it. Fall ball. And it'd be right back around the corner, man. You'd be talking again, talking about who's starting to look like that guy. And of course, we got my man D Rob in with us.
What up? What up, everybody? What's going on, fellas, man? Glad to be back on. You know what I'm saying? Let's get some good ball talk in, man.
Hey, man, let's not bury the lead, man. We recorded on the 14th. Yesterday was a big day. We had a huge commitment coming up. There was a lot of doubt out there. You know, there was a lot of crystal balls rolling in the other way. I know somebody who stood tall the entire time. He part of this cast with us today. I personally, and I've been tweeting out the 26. So if y'all see the 26 tweets, most of that's me. I tweeted out the day before, like, I wasn't giving him the no team until he went on that stage and said he going to Oregon or Georgia or Ohio State. You know, that was like the dark horse in this case. And that's just how it's got to be for me with this staff, with this coaching staff, this recruiting staff we have, and the NIL packages we're going to be able to offer. You know, that was a big hot ticket. Big talk around this recruitment, man. So, obviously, you know, he slid down just a little bit on the 247, which, you know, Gabby and Dave had already warned us. They said, bro, we got the updates the day before the recruitment. So, just so y'all know, it wasn't because of the Miami commit. And I actually don't mind it because I don't think, like, when I looked at him versus, like, Maui Noah, I think he still needs a little more polish than the Maui Noah needed coming in. And I don't necessarily got him penciled in like a Maui Noah. I think our O-line is much improved. So I don't got him penciled in as like coming in and starting as of yet. We'll see when that time gets here. But real quick, man, thoughts on the commitment, you know, just overall.
Man, my whole thought is follow this one since last season. And once I started getting – This one was really in depth because I took my time to understand his situation, his family situation, and then Miami situation. It was like three parts that you got to understand. One, his family situation. His mom and dad are world class Olympians. They was, you know what I'm saying. So they, when people saying it's the money, you got to think about where they come from. They're Olympians. They get sponsorships deals. They are saying, I want my son put in the best predicament to get a sponsorship deal because he might be an Olympian without playing football. Then I looked at his relationship with Mario and Coach Mirabon. Nobody did it better. Then I look at the other situation where he could come in and play day one next year. So when I start talking to people, my contact from Georgia said, hey, man, X, we did everything we can, man, but this kid's still mentioned in Miami. I'm like, of course. You know what I'm saying? He finna get put in the best predicament. Miami did not offer the most money.
They're not gonna believe that. I don't care what you tell me, people. They just will. And this is my thing with that. It's the NIL era, right? Everybody knows that. Do you want me to believe Georgia can't compete financially? And if their philosophy is going to be, we're not going to pay that much, then that team is going to quickly deteriorate because the game is moving along. And you're just going to have to compete. It's this real big false narrative, you know, that these logos make these teams. These players make these logos, bro. When I posted that as well, Kirby said, because they had just stomped out Oregon, he said, Dan never going to admit it, but he knows we just have better players. He can't do that because he's the coach, right? But we beat the shit out of him because we got way better players than this. UGA, when I was growing up, I saw Ari Wasserman talk about, you know, he was kind of backhanded compliment to mine about, those guys weren't good since I was in high school. So that puts him in about the same age bracket as me. I agree. But guess who wasn't good when I was in high school? UGA. So you acting like they talk about these traditional powerhouse. For that big time back then, UGA was super mediocre. Just like Miami. So, this thing is cyclical. And if it's Miami term, it's Miami term. But go ahead, Rob. I don't want to go on to tell about that.
Nah, I mean, I was going to agree with you. Like, they won nothing until Rick got there. Rick got there in, 2000, I think it was, or something like that around that time. And he turned that thing around.
He got that 0-1-0-2, one of those. But
yeah, he got that thing because I think they won it. I think it was 2000 when they won the championship. He left and took the Georgia job or something like that. He turned them around. Yeah, he turned them around. They weren't worth two pennies, man.
Not since Herschel left, but that's the truth. Herschel Walker left, like I said, it was a lot of mediocrity. It was just middling, 8-4, 6-7, 7-6. It was a lot of that. Like, this was not some dominant force. And and one reason they got rid of Rick, one of the biggest complaints, I'm from Georgia, from Savannah, Georgia, UGA country. He didn't recruit good enough. He never did a bad job. But they went from good recruiting to when they brought Kirby in, and they did give Kirby more resources, to great recruiting. That changed the trajectory of that program. So you could be witnessing the same thing at Miami. So I thought, Ari tried to kind of explain himself, and I probably did a so-so job, but I saw a fan say it really well too. It's not that we care that you're mentioning the money for Miami. It's the fact that you're not mentioning nobody else's money. Because X just told us Miami wasn't the most, right? What? Now, he's got more inside information than I would. Mm-hmm. And I just say I refuse to believe if we offer even more that Georgia was somewhere way on the other side of town. They ain't stupid.
Man, listen, remember, so he was literally about to commit to Miami previously, before.
Right.
Don't do it yet. Let's go out and visit Oregon. What you think that was about? It wasn't about, let's see what Oregon is about. No, it was about, hey, man, we can go offer you more money to Miami.
Yeah, of course. Oh, let's want to see
Georgia. Oh, hey, we can offer you probably the same or more at Georgia. It was never about, hey, man, you come to us, we're going to develop you the best. We're the better team. It was about who going to offer the most money. Miami already stood tall about what they was offering.
Yeah, because
everybody trying to change the narratives about, the kid picked Miami because of money. Shut the fuck up. Everybody's paying money. If you want
to. Yeah. But see, they leave out the fact that he said Mirabal is the best coach in college football. He's best offensive line coach of college football. They leave that out, but they want to talk about NIL, which is whatever, right? And even so, they already said, they already told everybody from the jump, if you're not – 2 million is the start point. If you ain't coming with 2 mil, don't even recruit him. And think about who's recruiting him. Oregon, unlimited budget, Phil Knight money. Miami, pretty big budget. I'm not saying unlimited, but a pretty big budget. Georgia, Ohio State, teams with big budgets that can, that can pay that.
Well, those are state schools on top of that. Remember
exactly.
That. Those are state schools beyond that.
Don't leave out his home state school, Missouri. Missouri, really.
Yeah, they SEC, they getting SEC Missouri money, bro. State school.
The most out of anybody.
Yeah, and then with Missouri, then don't forget, in the state of Missouri, they can get the NIL money in high school. They can get that NIL money at that high school. Yeah. So it's like, if he ain't take that, like, hey, man, he where he wanted to be, man.
Right. And I don't like, you know, like I said, the backhanded compliment, the wishy-washiness of trying to act like he picked Vanderbilt. Like, let's stop that. Let's stop that. There's a tradition in Miami. Let's not. Yeah, it's been a while. I'm going to give you that. I'm not going to deny that. It's been a while since we've reached the levels that we're supposed to be at. But we're not going to sit here and act like the kid picked Purdue for the bag. He picked the total package. I'm going to be well compensated and well coached. And a lot of people go, well, you know, when they talk about Mirrorball and Crystal Ball, well, who they developed or whatever. And I say, you know, everybody goes, yeah, they talk about Penny. And, I mean, that's the biggest shining star, right? But when you go back to those Oregon lines that they had, they weren't littered with five-stars and four-star guys.
Nope.
But they still had very good offensive lines that went running for the Offensive Line of the Year awards with these lower-ranked star guys. So that tells me they can do two things. They can identify and they can coach up.
And, you know, they never add the offensive lineman that Mario coached at Alabama. They don't never ask.
Yeah, they always like, right, absolutely. They always like, it's trash. Yeah. Of course.
Right, it's just, we only going to talk about Oregon and what he did at Miami and FIU. Nobody care about it. It's like, y'all create your own narratives.
Right.
The whole truth to it. Like,
you're talking out both sides of your mouth, because guess what they're going to say about Alabama? Oh, that's just the Bama logo.
Oh, yeah, that's Bama.
But then... like I said, so it's either the talent just comes because of the logo, because that's what Georgia got. Because I've heard people say, oh, you know, Georgia put out more first rounders, right? At the offensive line. That's right. But those guys were not maximized. Those guys aren't shining in the league right now. Those guys that were first rounders, yeah, they did pretty good in college. And that could have been still based on their pure physical abilities. They're being coached by Tracy Searle, somebody that did not do a good job with our offensive line here, right? Did not do a great job. Those guys are getting drafted because the NFL is still like college in this regard. They still drafting off potential. Anthony Richardson got drafted 100% off the potential. Now, the game didn't get to brag about that, but in their heart of hearts, none of them thought Anthony Richardson was like that. You never saw him be like that. Why did he go so high? Potential. They looking for the next Lamar. They're looking for the next Josh Allen. And when you're a team like the Colts that need a quarterback, you got to roll the dice. You have to. You got no choice. We need a quarterback, so we're going to roll the dice and hope this one work out. Do I think the guy's going to work out? No. But they still drafted him on pure potential. So that's the same thing that's happening with a lot of those Georgia offensive linemen, that these were huge kids that were five-star kids that, yeah, they got the Georgia got to come on through.
I guess somebody tried, they checked me. They said, hey, I guess two of the guys that did get drafted weren't five-star. They were like, no, they were one is a three-star, one's a low four-star. I'm like, whoop-de-doo. Like, okay.
But again, it still speaks to evals. It's not going to all be just, oh, the highest ranked of the highs. But like I said, go look at those Georgia offensive linemen that have been drafted and tell me what they're doing in this league right now. What are they doing? They probably barely gonna make it to their second contract because they just haven't been proven to actually be good offensive linemen at the next level. They just huge kids. I mean, you want a 6'7" guy that's been playing a bunch of good defensive linemen. That's just what it is.
I said it the other day in the I think I said it in the Discord, if I'm not mistaken. I don't know why I said it somewhere. Why I said in this draft. This season, the draft this season in the NFL, it showed you about 24/7 draft clause because half of those guys got drafted off potential alone, not because of what they did in the season.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? My guy, Shamar Stewart, they had him as a five-star, one of the top players in the nation. He got drafted first round because of his potential and what they see.
Exactly.
Not because of what they seen on the field. They said, all right, 6'6", 290, run a 4.5, draft him. If you don't, you're going to fight. So it's like.
Exactly. Same situation. And like I said, that's a guy. That's hometown. Everybody cheering for him. But Shamar didn't do nothing in college that you'd be like, wow, this is an outstanding player. He's still being drafted off his potential. Most NFL rosters are made up after the third round, number one. These first couple rounds is all a crapshoot. They hoping that these physical traits, they can continue to fine-tune and take it to the next level. Just like you're doing when you're evaluating in college, you're hoping that you can take this kid and then take him to the next level. You know, getting just back into the who this kid is that brought all this again. He's 6'7", 330, 80-inch wingspan. Cantwell, yeah.
Cantwell is probably 6'8", man. He's big. He's tall. He's big. Look, I don't care what the site's saying. I don't care. Listen, when I look at somebody, man, I'm giving you from what I see. When I see him, I'm like, shit. Yeah, he's going to be good. He's strong as hell. He's athletic. Obviously, he's not playing against the top talent, as you would say. But every camp he goes to, he dominates. Shit. Yeah, listen. I stood tall. I told everybody, man, he going to Miami. That kid right there, I just knew Miami wasn't losing the battle for him.
You said that on the show when he first came on the radar. You said that was in the bag on this show right here. That, oh, yeah, we got him. I remember you saying that forever ago. So I never worried about it after that. I was like, all right. X said he's in the bag. I promise y'all, man, to the end, I still wasn't nervous. I'm like, for what? Oh, because a couple of bombs. Look, he's been wrong a couple times. He could be the GOAT. All he's doing is reading the tea leaves like everybody else. So, you know, people got nervous. You know, they was getting some information, and it led them to be a little nervous about how things was going to turn out. You know, UGA, I looked at it from a different view, vantage point, just like you were saying, X, when Oregon opened the door. UGA went ahead and took advantage of, hey, he extended his window a little bit. So it was clear he was getting ready to commit to Miami. You know, they pried the door open. All right, I'll hear you out. And like you said, these people are smart. You know, hey, wait, well, let's just see the business of this and make sure, you know, we getting every penny we can get out of this.
And then not the other fact, I guess everybody done found out who the agent is. So I was like.
Oh, yeah, Drew, yeah.
Yeah, you didn't think. Man. Don't go like this. Like, come on. Like, this is Drew. We talking about Drew Rosenhaus. He
home team. Yeah, like, business is business. But, you know, why not? Especially when Drew know he could put him in a good position with a good coach. And he could just carry this on to the NFL level next, right? So, yeah, I keep a finger on the pulse of the kid, put him in great hands because I already know Mario. I know his work. So I already know how this is going to go. We're going to get ahead. We're going to bring him on here. Because he wouldn't, I'm going to tell you this too. Yeah, you're right. With Drew being in a situation, that's another good factor. He wouldn't have steered him here if he thought that was going to be a waste of his talents. And he wasn't going to get maximized because that's his money too. He's building this relationship now so that when the next contract come up, the NFL contract come up, exactly. He plans on being in that room as well, y'all. There's no way he don't think he's going to be in that room too.
Trust. So it's like, I didn't want to steer him wrong to go to Miami. Once the NFL come, I want him to still be my client. You know what I'm saying?
So, exactly. So I can say that, right? Hey, remember you trusted me before. I got you in this position. Remember I told you Mario and I want to say Luigi just then. Mario and Cristobal. I mean, and Mirabal is going to put you in the right circumstance, the right position to be, you know, one of these day one guys. So, yeah, with that addition, I guess, let me see. They did the updated ranks.
I think they moved Miami to 8 on 24/7.
Okay, the composite, okay.
No, they moved Miami to 10 on 24/7, 8 on 3.
Okay. And then, you know, I think, yeah, I see. Yeah, composite, we 9. Composite, we're number 9 right now. A couple of players dropped a little bit. Like I said, Jackson dropped the 10th. Jordan Campbell fell down to 153rd. Still a 4-star. Camden Portis dropped some. He went to 173. And Jalen Walters, I believe, dropped down to 241. Ben Cogden got his 4-star though. He was
he went up. Yeah, he went
upgraded.
Yeah, he was upgraded.
Yeah, that's the tackle. If y'all remember that we got out of Ohio, big kid, the wrestler kid.
And Coleman, because I know they were saying Coleman was gonna go up, but I didn't check it.
They still ain't put no respect on my dog name. He still got Coleman. 3.
So
he number 20 in his position.
Yeah, so they have him listed as a three-star by 24/7, but on the composite, he went up from, he was ranked 234, he's now 208. So his ranking went up from 91.72 to 92.27. So
okay,
he's been climbing.
Number 14 quarterback overall.
He
did climb on the composite.
He climbed, yeah. It's just on three still has him listed as a three-star when these other sites have him listed as a four-star in climbing. So it's like they haven't budged off that three-star yet thing.
247, you mean?
Yeah, they haven't budged off.
Still got three him on three yet.
They still
and they up his height too. They got his height up a little bit now.
Now they got his height up. Now they have him at 6'1", 170, when before they had him at like 5'11" or something like that.
Right.
Yeah. That'd be crazy. Ain't no like I don't pay attention to the most. Because when I go see the kids, if I say the kid looks good, he look like he's gonna be good. That's how I give my assessments. I definitely don't care about some guys who ain't never played the sports giving opinions about somebody gonna be good.
Yeah, it's all guessing game, you know. And then to round out the rest of the class, as of right now, we got JVN Mallory running back. They got him at three.
He might be one of the best pass catching running backs I've ever seen in my life.
Word. I've been hearing a lot of good things about him on the circuit, and that's been a pleasant surprise.
Yeah.
He's a big dude, too. He's 200 pounds.
He can run the ball, but when he's out the backfield catching passes, he's very impressive. I'm like, shit, is this guy really a running back?
Yeah, my thing is, and see what kind of ticked me off about this one, Mallory, is like he's been dropping. All right, when they first gave him his rating, he was a 93.9301, and now he's all the way down to a 0.9033. Like he's been dropping, and it's like, why have you not seen what he does?
Seven on sevens.
You saw who was just at his school yesterday, Alabama. Alabama was just at school with him. Like, come on, man.
How we feeling on keeping that one?
Oh, I'm good. I think we good. We ain't no worry about.
Oh, he locked in. He ain't going nowhere.
I think Mallory. Mallory good to go. Oh, I ain't worried about him.
He wanted to be a king so bad. He wanted to be that now. Like he was.
Yeah.
he's trying to get that now, man. And he recruiting. I shouldn't even say he recruiting because he's gonna be a king too. Him and Derek Cooper have.
Cooper. That'd be perfect. That'd be a nice 1-2 punch in the backfield.
That's a lock too. Derek Cooper gonna be a king too. So that right there, like, and I don't want to say it, but I'm gonna say it. That'll be like a Willis McGahee and Frank Gore combination.
Oh man,
yeah,
it got to start somewhere. It got to start somewhere.
Because Cooper is McGahee, and is Frank. Yeah, it's Frank. Mallory is Frank. You know.
Being Willis and Mallory being Frank, because Cooper is, once he hit the hole, he just have that power and speed that you don't want to tackle him, but then he's going to run by you. You know what I'm saying? Mallory, he'll hit the hole, put a move on you. You know what I'm saying? Don't look like it's 4-4 speed, but he going. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So
that contact balance.
They get too emotional when you say some shit about some great players. But
yeah. As soon as you compliment somebody, but no. Hey, somebody got to come behind this person and be, you know, in that realm. That's just how the game goes. It's going to always be another. Better hope they are. The hell you want them not to be for? You should hope they better. That's exactly what I hope for. And then we got a few more, couple more commits. We'll just run through real quick. I want to talk a little bit about Beck. But Rob got to get out of here. Wyman, Jontavious Wyman out of Jonesboro. Joel Irvin out of Fort Myers, another big tackle they high on. And, of course, J.J. Sparks, the interior offensive lineman. You know, that's been committed to us for a good little minute right now as well.
That's the one that
him
high on.
I think. What's that?
Boston gonna be the one I keep an eye on as far as staying in the
country. Yeah. I was about to say the same thing.
Like, we have three other offensive linemen that's high quality guys that I think Miami could land. And not saying I don't want Sparks in the class. I'm just, you know, you get three other guys, that'll take the number up to seven offensive linemen. You ain't seven. You're gonna take six and do.
Well, you're thinking of him as because what, right? A guard?
I think they the center.
Center.
Yeah. Okay. Okay.
Yeah, so my thing with him is, right, and I don't think he's going to be in the class. I think, you know what I'm saying, whatever, because from what I've seen, right, the South Ridge kid, Ryan Myrett or whatever his name is, he also plays center, guard, and he plays D-tackle. Strong kid, wrestler. Like, he really want to be a Kane. Like, I wouldn't be surprised when he takes his OV that we won't get that commitment, like, during the OV or whatever. Because his OV is June 20th, right? Because he goes to Nebraska June 6th, Ole Miss June 13th, and then he comes to Miami June 20th. And I wouldn't be surprised coming out that visit we get him. Cannon Pickett, I don't know what's going on. Like, I don't know if he's playing the game or whatever, but that's another one who I think wants to be a game, but I also think that he's, like, kind of just feeling everything out, just seeing how everything go. So with those two, and then possibly that other IMG kid. It's another IMG kid that they like a lot that's out there. You know what I'm saying?
IMG kid right now, who I think probably land.
Kolajack.
He's another kid. He's 6'5". You know what I'm saying? These kids 6'4", 6'5". So, that's, you know, I can see that Sparks kid, like, probably falling out of the class, and I can see him going to somewhere else, lower level.
Got the Tufa kid out of McCallie.
Oh yeah, yeah. I forgot about that.
Tommy Tofi. Yeah, I forgot about
Tommy Tofi. Yep.
Yeah, that's starting to grow. So wing, and then I tweeted yesterday. I say we got to double back on the kid. I'm still thinking Pepe. You know what I'm saying?
Man.
Wow,
USC could be a hurricane also.
Yeah. What you gonna say, bro?
No, I'm about to say I kinda don't like how, you know what I'm saying? I mean, granted, like I said, that's the family, they gotta do what's best. I just, for me personally, I don't like how they did it, because like the whole spring break, they only took USC visits. They only went to USC. They didn't take no other visits. Well, so right there.
Unofficial visit to Miami twice.
But
it wasn't like with the family. One was with the team.
Yeah.
And one was with the old lineman. Cause they had the old
lineman. Then he just canceled. Yeah, and then he just canceled like all his visits. He didn't cancel all his visits except USC. He's only taking an official visit to USC now. In like 2 weeks, 2 or 3 weeks or something, like 3 weeks. So that's why I said,
man, back out his way.
Like I said, because I know what USC is doing. They on a mission to try to restore what's going on, but it's a lot that they got to do. So,
and they paying too. That's the other thing. See, I ain't be hearing that attached to USC. They ain't talking about how USC breaking bread.
It don't matter. They only want to talk about Miami. They don't care.
No matter what. Like, and again, I ain't mad at USC. I'm happy that's what they're doing. But real quick, I know D-Raw, you want to talk a little bit about Bet before you gotta get out of here. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, man.
I heard he looked good so far.
I saw the video. They posted the video. He throwing. Hey man, that kills a whole lot of narratives. People were saying, "Oh, he still ain't throwing." Mario line. He still ain't gonna be ready. Oh, but they just posted a whole video of him, you know what I'm saying? Then it changed. Oh, it looked like it's kind of slow coming out of his release. Like, come on, man. Like, what are we doing? Like, come on, man. Beck is throwing. He's improved. He's ahead of schedule. He will be ready week one. And I'm so happy. I ain't gonna lie, I'm so happy. Because I didn't think that it would have been this soon for him to start throwing. I thought it probably was gonna be like more like in the June and the summer when summer workouts start. Summer workouts ain't even here yet, and he throwing. So I'm good, man.
I didn't think it was gonna be to August. Like I didn't think he was May, June, or July. I thought it would be straight August. And he was throwing in May. He was throwing in the end of April and May. You know what I'm saying? So it's like
I don't even think Miami would have brought him in though if they thought he wasn't going to throw till August. That's too much of a risk. So I think they did a background check and just knew, okay, the injury maybe not as bad as people thought. He just got it, you know what I'm saying, get his surgery and everything, and he'll be good to go like before summer. That's too much of a risk saying he would start throwing in August.
I kept explaining to everybody, I said, man, listen, I know y'all saying he's going to be ready this next. When you have surgeries, man, it just don't never. You never know how it goes. You know what I'm saying? I don't care if they tell you, boy, you're going to be ready by March. You never know. You know what I'm saying? You don't know if your body going to react to that surgery the same way such and such body acts to the surgery. So I was like, it was a risk already. Regardless of when they thought he was going to be ready. They just took the risk and said, hey.
Yeah, well.
And then you got, don't forget, man, you got probably some of the best doctors in the entire United States right down there in Miami. So I'm pretty sure that they did all their homework and make sure, okay, this is the same injury that Brock Purdy got. And Brock Purdy was ahead of schedule. He got, you know what I'm saying? And he looks good. Like, you don't see, oh, man, he doing crazy stuff, nothing like that. He looked good. So I would only assume, like, if they're saying that, it's not a problem. And then I'm glad that they didn't try to rush him back. Like, yeah, you got to start throwing. No. Everything is good, man, and I'm glad. I'm so happy right now.
Well, the mission is real. Like it's a win now type league, right? Like they're gonna be compared to, you know, even though like we'll talk about Penn State and we'll talk about James Franklin, right? And how he's won now, which to an extent he certainly has. He's won 10 games, you know, a couple of times. Has he won a meaningful game as of yet? No. But that's kind of the pressure is on now. And the pressure was on last year. We thought we could go really far with Cam. And we could have if the defense wasn't a complete disaster. And so everything is about, you know, I'm kind of in line with Measy. Like, they knew it was – they felt very good bringing him in and think he was going to be able to throw, you know, soon enough. And then, you know, clearly what we do, we got rid of Guidry. And then we attacked the secondary because it was just shit. It just wasn't talented enough. The D-line couldn't help it enough. You know, especially we had, like, you know, Bane was banged up a lot of last year, so that hurt some things on the back end. But, yeah, the mission is win now. So to see Beck doing what he's doing, it don't really come as a surprise. I believe him. I think because, like, Mario more inclined to say nothing. If he don't have something like positive to put in, he'll be more inclined to just not even comment on it at all.
Yeah, he ain't gonna go out there and lie and say some shit that ain't true.
Right. He'll just more than likely just skip over it. I'm not gonna talk about that, yada yada. That give me more of a negative sign. But yeah, the fact that he is out there throwing, it's gonna be promising for a lot of things to come in this season.
This is actually like his fourth week of throwing. Like,
yeah, you told us he was throwing last time we recorded, like, three, 4 weeks ago.
Yeah, this is a video of him throwing, but he's been throwing. Now he's throwing by himself without the team or any staff around. When he was throwing, he was around the staff. They kept it secluded. They didn't want nobody to know. And it was just, don't throw so hard. Let's just
get soft toss. Just get it, yeah. Just get the motion.
Stuff like that. Now it's, he going out there by himself to do it. You know what I'm saying? So, listen.
7:30, Notre Dame.
You on the clock, baby.
Hey, it is what it is. We rolling them out. I feel better about our QB than this. You know, they got a nice little O-line and a running back. You know?
They don't even know shit about their quarterback because he ain't played for real.
No, that's why I feel better about it. Much better.
You know they lost 4 O-linemen, right?
Yeah,
they used to keep a pretty good line.
I was gonna say, Notre Dame, they stay recruiting top 10. They stay pretty decent.
They had the top O line. We beat their ass in 2017.
That's a fact. That's a fact. All right, let me tell you something. Hey,
they had a top 10 team.
I go to the same school as you. I ain't betting against my team until I just don't make no sense. We got to play it. Only team I ain't gonna hold you that I was like, nah, bro, let's keep it a bean was when we had to start against Bama a few years ago. I was like,
yeah.
And even then, I ain't gonna hold you. I went in with hope. I was like, shit, man, you never know.
Boy, yeah, it was a good five minutes, though. That's all we had, 5 minutes.
Man.
Boys went bombs away.
Killed the Eric King, and that was the season right there.
That was before we walked on the field. As soon as I walked on the field, I was like, yeah, they finna beat the shit out of us.
That boy big as shit over there.
No chance.
Oh, yeah, man. And then they hurt King, and it was like, oh, shit.
King wasn't even doing shit, and nobody was doing shit in that game.
He was hurt. Remember, he was coming off the injury.
Wasn't he supposed to play that game?
Yeah.
Right, yeah, we rushed him out because it was bad.
Like, I remember somebody said, I forgot who was, like, reporting at the game. They was on the sidelines doing warm-ups, and Gert, they said he looked at Bama. They so big and all this shit. Then he would pause, and then he said he saw Gervin Hall went and tried to dunk on a goalpost and got hung and fell. And he was like, man, we about to get whooped. He said he knew then we about to get slaughtered tonight.
That's a bad omen. I ain't going to lie to you. That's a bad way to start the night. Getting hung on the back on the goalpost. But anyway.
Got that. Rock, man. Rock. We know when we had big games at the Rock, man, Miami came to play. Miami comes to play. It's an atmosphere that's going to be crazy. And again, I just know Notre Dame. They lost a lot of O-linemen. They don't got their quarterback. Al Golden was a defensive coordinator. He's gone. I don't expect their defense going to be that good like that. I'm riding with my team, man. I don't care what.
For sure, and we're the house. Yeah, I'm. That's the game I'm trying to organize. Florida, absolutely. Dallas is probably because I got a couple of things to do in Dallas, so it all makes sense to get out there.
Yeah, that Notre Dame game is going to be the one that get everybody talking. Like, all right, like, it's a new regime for real, for real.
But Mario
have us ready for big games. Now, that's one thing about Mario. We might lose we might lose a Wake Forest 2 weeks later by accident, but them big games, we coming to play.
And the bottom line is still going to be just like it was last year. The Gator game was huge, even though they weren't that good, right? At the end of the day, that's a rivalry. It's an early game. It's an SEC game. It was a great statement game for the program to get, you know, start that season off with that win. So
then it was how we won. Like, it wasn't.
Yeah, you
know, got through the game, and yeah, we dominated.
Because when they beat us, that's what it was. Fucking Florida
was good or not like that. You don't go into the road in the swamp like that first game and then just dominate as soon as the football is kicked off. Like, that was like a different kind of just being ready for a game. No jitters, no nothing.
Yeah, it was over when we saw Cam run the ball outside.
Yeah, walking to the sideline.
Yeah, and I don't get to see the guy. I told everybody then, I said, that's why I knew this game was going to be different. When I saw that, I was like, oh, this is a different individual, bro. They told me he was like, you know, that. But to see that, let me know everything. So, you know, Bet got a lot to prove himself because, you know, his stock dropped last year, which is why he is coming back. You know, he took the injury at the end of the year. And I think Bet probably got a little more edge than people realize. And I think he got a little more moxie about himself than some people may realize.
Man, you don't be that good in his conference as he was at Georgia, just not having no moxie, man. Like, that's not a real thing. I thought that's almost impossible.
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying,
right? I just got a request in the group chat.
Man. Yeah, I just saw it.
We need an apology, man, to Mario for the Cantwell.
Yeah, so we recorded a little earlier today, so I was at work, but I'm here. So I do gotta apologize to Mario Cristobal himself and Canes Nation because when Cantwell committed yesterday,
yeah,
it was yesterday, Tuesday. So it was like Sunday night. I'm starting to get like nervous because the only reason I'm getting nervous is I'm like, there's no way. I was like, we losing this player to somebody else. Like, this recruitment was different. I know we put all of our eggs in his, not all of our eggs, but we went all in on this kid. He's an offensive line kid. We got two offensive line coaches, big-time offensive line coaches. He kept coming to visit. And I'm like, bro, there's no way. And so the TV started trending elsewhere. So I did start doubting Mario because I'm like, there's no possible way. But the only thing I was right about was there was no possible way. We got it done. But I did doubt Mario Cristobal, the man himself. And I had to go to church last night and apologize. I was like, it'll never happen. It'll never happen again, Mario.
Hey, let it eat dry.
And them folks had busy or crazy in the chat.
No, I was. Yeah. I was. One thing about me, I was telling our little 26 degrees text group. One thing about me, I ain't going on the timeline with it. I might put it in a little chat somewhere, but I ain't going on the timeline being nervous. I'm going to go to the timeline and spin it if we didn't get it. But no, we ended up getting them, though. But I was nervous about it. Cause I was like, there's no fucking way, bro. There's no way we don't get this kid. You know what I'm saying? I was more disappointed in this than Jeremiah Smith if we wouldn't have got him. You know what I'm saying? But we did what we had to do.
It makes sense. Because like I said, it made sense on so many levels.
Yeah, recruiting don't make sense, but this one just seemed different.
Yeah, you're right. A lot of it do and a lot of it don't. And I think a big part of recruiting now is you're just going to see a shift in some of the powers, right? And I think it's just going to be better for the game. Where the talent distribution, I think, will be more equalized because of the NIL introduction. I like to say, damn Donald Trump and fuck Nick Saban for trying to get involved in some shit that I got to say, man, quit pocket watching, quit hating on people that have something, a gift and a talent that you didn't have. Donald Trump came in the money. Y'all be rooting for some wild people out there. I'm going to say this real quick. He's not you. That dude is not you. I don't know why you think you can identify with him. He don't identify with you. He ain't going to get political. He can't identify. So why would you support him hating on somebody getting money that they didn't quote unquote earn? Like, who is he to come in and say that? And then Nick Saban took the bitch route because he don't like the fact that these kids finally had a little more say and a little more autonomy and decide he wants to quit. So once you quit, your contribution to the game now is, well, I don't think it's fair. It wasn't fair when y'all was paying Nick and you sat right there and lied on national TV when the comedian dude called you out, said, you think we paid Alabama? Yes, Nick. Let me make it clear to you. We know you paid. There's nobody that thinks you didn't pay. Plus, you got paid more than anybody else. So the last thing you should be doing is hating on somebody else's situation.
Hey, but what's up with that shit, though? Because Ohio State AD came out last year talking down on NIL. I'm like, bro, y'all been doing this shit since
Moby Dick was for cheap.
That has to be it. But yeah,
they was getting it for cheap. You would give a kid, Cam Newton, I think, was rumored to get around 70 grand. 70 grand today? It's an absolute joke, right?
And that's just from that school.
Yeah, that was supposedly the Auburn situation, something in that realm, right? The people that are going to be the most upset, which I knew was going to happen, was the Ohio States, the Bamas. They've been paying players. They just didn't have to pay them nearly as much.
Bro,
and then when other people could start doing it, they knew they would have to compete in a whole new way.
I saw Fred Taylor. This was a couple months ago on one of them little YouTube shorts. He was talking about his recruitment. Now, you know how long ago that shit fucking was. Right. He would just show up at the house and money would be there. I think he said he didn't even go to Bama. He was like, he got like 50 bands from Bama. He didn't even commit. You know what I'm saying?
It was part of the game. Yeah. It was the bag. It's going to
be part of it.
But again, they were getting it for a fraction of these calls.
Right,
and everybody can compete now,
and so you got an old, you got
to totally dominated.
It's paperwork now, so you can't promise a dude 200,000 and you end up giving him 115,000. You can't do that shit now,
right?
You know what I'm saying?
So tonight, you know, I'm doing a space, and I told Georgia fans, leave me alone. I'm a soldier.
Nah, you've been on their neck, bro. Rightfully so.
I'm exposing them today because, listen, they give players money to commit. They tell players, hey, we're going to pay you this and this and that to come to our school. They don't pay them that money. They don't. A lot of them players don't be getting paid their money. Why do you think a lot of players be leaving Georgia? Because they're not getting paid that money.
Yeah.
It's the old thing. Over the last 2 years, they had, I think, like they said, 40 transfers or something like that.
Bro, Georgia is taking Miami players. If that don't tell y'all something changing, they took Jaden Harris.
They took
and we know who Jaden Harris is, bro.
They did take Harris. Shit, I forgot about that.
They need him. They took our fifth D tackle. Things are changing. I'm just like that, and that makes people uncomfortable because the last people they want to see at the top of this mountain is Miami.
And they're not in charge no more, so they can't. Yeah, a lot of people can't deal with it when they're not in charge no more. They ain't got to say so. They don't even know how to act no fucking more.
Right. It's a new guard, new tech. They don't like that shit, man. USC, like I said, USC doing the same thing, and they, you know, USC. I always call them our brothers out west. That's because of them, because they're in the same situation. Yeah. Private school, major city, you know, and they out there paying, and people don't like it.
USC, I guess they not loud like Miami. You know what I'm saying? Miami, when we do it, we get loud.
Yeah, we got it. We get loud and ignorant, but that's okay. That's our culture, right?
And ain't gonna apologize either. Gonna be there. Nah. Cause you ain't gonna like us regardless. So we could do anything. We could do a total 180, and you still gonna hate us. So I might as well do what I want to do. So you might
they gonna hate you, man. Make them hate you.
Make it worth their time.
Yeah, make it worth their time.
You know, but I'm good with it. I'm good with it. I love the hate, man. I sincerely do. I eat it up.
When I talk to the players, I tell them all the time, I say, embrace it. The more you embrace it, the more better you're going to be. Because when you embrace it, you don't care what they say. You're like, man,
it's fuel.
Got to say it.
It's fuel, man. If you really play it right, you'll be like, man, I need my haters, dog. Come on, say something negative, bro. I need it, man. Tell me how I made a mistake. I ain't going to do nothing. I ain't going to be nothing. And just and a lot of people take that, man. They eat that up and just go out there and mash on life.
Speaking of that, I like how Cantwell said, I don't know if y'all spoke on this, but I like how Cantwell said yesterday in his interview, he was like, he don't like how Nakos, or however you say his name, Peter Nakos, mm-hmm. for On3, the NIL dude, and everybody's saying, oh, the Miami numbers start. Because obviously our numbers come out, nobody else's numbers come out, and we a whole motherfucking private school, so we know ain't real no numbers coming out. But he was like, he don't like how they made it seem he was getting bought, and he was like, it was really about the relationships with me, but that's the shit people don't want to hear.
Yeah, because that's the easy way to shit on Miami, is to be like, yeah, they wouldn't be doing nothing to us if they didn't have the money. Well, guess what? Let's say that is the truth. We got the money. But I know the other schools do too, especially in Georgia. We're not talking Toledo. This is Georgia. I have heard Kirby don't want to pay. You know, I said that in the chat. I have heard that he's not wanting to pay, you know, especially freshman kid. Okay, you don't have to. Somebody's going to, though. So make your decision.
And there's nothing wrong with whoever do want to pay and what they want to pay. If they got it, ain't shit wrong with it.
Bro, let me tell you something.
How you going to tell me what to spend on my money?
My money, right. You going to tell me, and you ain't putting nothing in on this. I'm not a fan. Brock Purdy is in negotiations with us now. I do not think Brock Purdy is a $50 million quarterback. He going to get $50 million. Because why? That's the market. That's just what it is. The same thing is happening in college football.
For what he's done.
He's done enough. Right. He's done enough. He's been to Super Bowl, you know, didn't pull it off. He didn't particularly play bad in those games or anything either. So, you know, I think he's the result a lot of what we do systematically. And he pulls it off well. But I can say the same thing about Brady. I can say the same thing about Brady. Nonetheless, he pulled it off and he did his thing. That's just how business works. And too many people that aren't in these rooms think they got a better idea of the stuff than they do. Oh, I ain't paying no $2 million for no. You ain't. That's right. You ain't paying $2 because you ain't got it to pay.
Now you overpaying. I had an FSU buddy text me last night saying, oh, it must feel good to be able to have money and overpay for recruits. I'm like, he might be overpaying for you, but
for you,
if he a top five kid and you really want him, that's not overpaying. I bought what the fuck I wanted.
It's all relative. It's all depending on your pockets. See, for me, a pair of Jordans at $200 and a pair of Jordans for an NBA player is a total different ball game, bro. So you may say $200 is a lot. It's all relative. And you ain't got it. Yeah, that's a lot of money. And me and you, the average Joe, you don't have $200 to give to a player.
It's crazy. It's crazy for itself because, as me stated, Miami, for one, don't nobody know how much money Miami's kicking out for the NIL. They don't even dispose that to anybody. Two, you got to be out your damn mind if you think somebody is doing negotiations for a kid and is leaking information about what the kid is getting paid. They will get fired immediately.
That makes sense.
Like, why would I be trying to leak this information out when I'm trying to get a cut? I might fuck up for the kid. You know what I'm saying? Like,
right.
Come on, man. People just throwing out dumbass numbers because it's Miami.
And yeah, right. And, you know, shout out to all the people having fun saying, you know, Miami gave them $65 million, private jet, and this, that, and other. Yeah, that's exactly what happened. You know, just a situation where they won out, man. And Mario was brought here to recruit. So far, so good. You know, last year wasn't what we wanted. Still top of the ACC, but that's not the goal.
Yeah, we ain't talking about all the recruits that they paid for us not to get.
Yeah, everybody got the money, man. Everybody got the money. All the top schools, put it that way, got the money. You know, all the big boys got that money and should have more than Miami because Miami's a private institution. So,
no, I think that's where the hurt comes. That they know right. The same amount or just or maybe more.
Hey, you know what's crazy too? Matter of fact, that you say that, as many as because we in a lot of big time, especially last year, the year before, we in a lot of big time top 20 player, 5-star battles to the very end, like the last day. And then when we don't get them, nobody brings up shit about money. But when we get them, it's about the fucking money, bro.
And then you got a bunch of grown men. The NFL's going to see that. You know, he went for the money and they're not going to like that. Man, shut your cocks up.
Man, these boys got NFL agents now, bro.
You're not in the room. You are not in these rooms. You don't have these decisions to make. You are not. You don't have a family member with that decision to make. You aren't that person. Your cousin. You know, I heard Cam Newton say it, man. He's like, you getting advice from people that was never in your shoes. You know, these people that are sitting there, they haven't been there. They weren't sitting in that room trying to make that decision and decide, you know, millions and millions and millions of dollars. You talking to mechanics and grocery store workers and laborers and, you know, just us regular Joes. And I'm not downing on people because that's who I am. But I'm not in that room. I don't understand those numbers like that. What I do understand is they're beyond my world. That's just not the world I live in. So I'm not going to sit here and ever tell somebody not to get something or you should take this because, man, people make to the NFL from all over this league. Do not believe that the logo is going to make you. You make the logo. These players make those logos. So, you know, good on them. We went through the recruiting class. I want to briefly run down the portal class, yeah, because – I mean, you correct me if I'm wrong. I would say we pretty much done that. Maybe that safety out of Kansas State.
He's not coming.
That's kind of dead situation.
They better not want him. I think that's a done deal. I think our secondary is done. I think for the most part, if a grad transfer defensive interior lineman comes available, we're gonna go after.
Yeah, that's just a slim market right now. So that's gonna be just hard.
Do y'all think we good at the D line, or like just one extra just for shit?
Need depth, you know what I'm saying? You just want to go into the season with good depth. Well, you know, you don't want to be worried if a player gets injured. You know what I'm saying? You just need depth. So right now, it's no top defensive tackles in the portal. You just have to wait for a grad transfer to say who wants to come and be a part of the team. You know what I'm saying? He's not going to start. Damn near might not play, but he could be added depth.
Yeah, like, what, Clark? You know, you barely saw him out there, but, again, the body you needed to spell people and you know, not a bad physical specimen.
Hey, Blake's supposed to be real solid, right? Like, he's supposed to be, like, a big-time D-tackle. How he looked, X? I think I asked you in another episode.
Solid. I still think, like, It's Morton and Scott's job though, so he'll be like the third guy off the bench.
Thank you, third. Okay, so we'll do a quick little spin. So obviously Daniels, Looking to see CJ Daniels, obviously, see if he can be, you know, that opposite JoJo wide receiver, which, I mean, we hear good things, early returns, he back healthy, good catch radius.
I got to do me. I got to apologize to y'all. I didn't think CJ Daniels was going to be. Well, I still
got yet to be seen, but
what I seen on when I seen him on at practice, I was like, okay, because before I was like, man, I just didn't think he was good. I'm like, man, I don't think he worked it. But then he gets on the field, I'm like, oh, okay, yeah, he got it, he got something.
Man, I saw his I saw a stat on him. He got like one of the lowest drop rates combined the last 4 years, like in the nation. Like his drop rate is crazy good.
Yeah, so you got nice short hands, good size, good catch radius. Ethan O'Connor, cornerback, you know, a guy that we think factors into the rotation, that cornerback. Again, like a real solid depth piece that could come in to play a lot depending on the injury. And I think they're comfortable with O'Connor as, you know, that what I would guess third, fourth cornerback right now.
Man, listen, that cornerback room is I'm going to give you three names, and then it's not O'Connor, not even in the discussion, but you got Xavier Lucas, O.J. Frederick, Damari Brown. Then you go O'Connor, Charles Brantley, and
Cornley, the boy for
he gone.
Yeah, he left.
You're right. We sent him packing to Virginia. X said he was toast.
Yeah.
X said Brantley was toast too, matter of fact.
But Brantley competed. Brantley was competing. Like Brantley yeah. Brantley toast and his toast was totally different. Like his toast was he just was not good. Brantley is
oh
like,
boy said, nah, let me take my out of Virginia. These niggas fast as shit down here.
Yeah.
That's crazy. I can't like the double transfer is insane to me.
And then go from Miami to Virginia, like that just tells you, like that shit was too big for me. But that's okay though.
Yeah, that's okay. Just compete a little bit more, man. Like that's crazy to me, but especially in 1 year, like I say, not even a year. You went there and then left again.
A couple months, man. Like
months.
But again, he had to go, man. That thing was trash. Like
it wasn't looking good, huh?
I would have been like, "What the fuck?" Like y'all don't care.
He knew. He saw the writing on the wall. So yeah, and that's kind of like, yeah, that's why I was saying I see O'Connor as that, yeah, third, fourth corner, depending on what we're looking at, because Brantley will probably play more in the nickel slot, you know, slot DB. So David Blade, we mentioned a second ago. So we're looking at probably a third D tackle. Zachariah Poison, number two, safety in the portal is gonna start safety for us more than likely. Jack Nickel, you know, old man to block on the line, you know, certain situations. We got to replace old man River that took off on us. You know, he played as long as he could. You know, salute to him. He made some plays for us.
What, Keontae Scott, the safety from Auburn?
Yeah, Scott was the latest addition. So you're looking at again. Yeah, see, now you're talking about another nickel type and also a kick returner. So you add some more explosion in that regard as well. Yeah, Brantley, Lucas, obviously. Brock and Mike, we've been had same deal, talking about the center for this year.
Got the two. Got Marion, Tony Johnson.
Yeah, those are two of the latest the receivers there. So, again, you got another with Marion, Keelan Marion. You're looking at, you know, a rotational wide receiver and returner.
Yeah.
Tony Johnson probably come in and compete for that slot position. You know, just again more insurance and more competition in that at the slot. We just needed it with, you know, still I guess a few questions with Ray, and then with Malachi being so young.
I think they added them mostly for depth, you know, because just didn't got no game time experience.
Exactly, and Tony got the actual game time experience. So I think he's there to push him. I don't think he's necessarily going to win it, but I think of the wide receivers that were brought in, he could possibly take that slot position. We go, you know, we'll see. Obviously, when they get back to practicing.
I mean, all we know needs a little 20, 25 catches from him. It ain't like we need like 50.
I actually think Tony Johnson can play outside more so than inside.
Well, we need 50 catch that slot. That's Shannon.
No, I mean, yeah, but I'm talking about him just being a transfer coming in. Not like, right.
Yeah, we're going to, he may not have to get him, but we're going to, you know, that's a position he works a lot.
I think this year, right, I think it's going to be more of a rotational thing at the beginning of the season until they figure out who the three guys they could go and trust with the most.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? So, and I know JoJo going to be one of those guys. You know, my other dark horse is Chance Robinson. You know, I'm hearing that he's fully healthy now. Okay. And if he's fully healthy, then he's going to be kind of hard to keep him off the field because he's just one of those, if you throw the ball his way, he's catching it.
Yeah, it's a big body kid that people have forgotten about because of the injuries. Yeah, you haven't just haven't heard about him much. We brought in Ballman, you know, tight end, red zone threat type. You know, a bigger body than, you know, Elijah. Elijah's going to be kind of a probably a Swiss Army knife. We're going to use a little bit everywhere. Well, obviously, Beck, we done spoke on Shamar Brown, which was, to me, probably the biggest pickup in the transfer portal, just because we needed an RB3. Injuries happen there all the time. So, you know, that alone, you just got to have that additional body. You got to have that body in case, you know, somebody will get hurt at running back. That's just the nature of the beast. Especially because this year we may be a little bit more run heavy than we were last year, obviously with Cam not, you know, throwing the ball around. So I thought that was the most important pickup. He's coming from North Dakota State, a winning program. He won, you know, freshman of the year, the Jerry Rice Award in his division. So, you know, a winner and a good physical specimen as well. He's not necessarily going to be the most explosive guy on the planet, but he's a little over 200 pounds too. So he should have the build that's ready for, you know, ACC football. He had to replace a kicker. So we brought in Bert Auburn, struggled towards, I think, the end of the year last year with Texas. So we, you know, hopefully he can get back to form, bring it back together. And then let's see, a few more additions. Yeah, Kamal Bonner, another linebacker, kid with a lot of promise out of North Carolina State.
That was my big. That's the one I was like, man, what was they thinking?
Yeah, I mean, he's a guy that went from safety to linebacker, right?
I ain't understand that shit neither.
You know, a lot of scholarships go around. Look, if those guys in that room beat him out, then he's probably just going to leave again anyway. So,
Should beat him out, but if they don't beat him out,
that's something they like. They see right. Something they like. I'm gonna give him the benefit of the doubt and give him a shot. If he bail out, then all right, it is what it is. But you know, the linebacker that probably was the bigger impact, obviously, was Muhammad Touré out of Rutgers. I really like his film. Guy, I think got hurt last year.
Yeah, if he's healthy. He's probably going to be a guy, one of the guys that start. Probably him and Popo are going to battle for that linebacker one.
And then Jacoby Thomas.
Under safety. Yeah,
he's a physical safety, man. He's a tone setter out there. You know,
only issue I have with him is I hope he don't come with the Amari Carter syndrome. The Amari Carter syndrome, man. It just
knock the cats out.
Yeah, man. Don't get
well, you know, they being a little kinder with the flag. You know, last year, because remember, we got some hate on that, too. They wanted targeting on, like, the same. Now, they hit us with that bad one when my Moten hit Brian, his helmet just flew off, even though nothing about it was a targeting hit.
No, they kind of calmed down on that shit. It was getting egregious.
A little bit. Yeah, they have. They have. Yeah. I think Amari would live a little bit better, you know, today than he did in his day. Because Amari got a lot of bad calls. They gave that brother a lot of bad calls.
He did.
He just hitting hard.
I'm like, yeah, but Amari too. Amari would never like wrap up, so he just throwing his whole body at you, and it makes it look.
Yeah, but he was knocking niggas out.
Yeah.
I mean, listen. If you can just throw your body and knock them down, I don't care.
I think with Amari, he hit you with his shoulder, but it just made it look like he was just killing you with his
right. It looked like his head was dropping.
With this kid, he does hit with his helmet a lot, and that's the issue. I'm like, man, I just hope he does it. Because we're in the ACC.
Clean some of that up, yeah.
This Miami, man, they'll throw that flag on us. Like,
I know. I mean, and in your opinion, is he competing for starting safety?
Yeah, he's going to come in and compete, yeah. Him, Keyonte Scott, they all competing for that starting safety spot because as much as we brought Poison in, he just did solidify himself as a starter.
I would thought he was. That's good insight.
And I keep telling people, like, I think the only starter we have is Marquise Williams because he's the only one who actually looked it really good. You know what I'm saying? I think they just still saying, okay, well, he's just light, but.
Yeah. They keep sticking that narrative on him. Yeah, it's funny because you probably the only person I hear say that, like the other, like other media outlets and stuff, they keep making it like he's the clear third. You know, like he's good, but again,
they do,
he like
they do say that, yeah.
Like he's doing good, but he's too skinny.
They that's saying he's like rotational, basically.
Yeah, it's right. Like funny bad knock they got on. They saying, oh well, nobody's saying, oh well, he can't cover.
Right.
Everybody's just saying, well, he's just too little.
Right? Yeah, you're right. There's no knock on the game. I haven't heard anything about actual skills. It's all about, you know, physically. Stop. About physically. You know, his abilities to hold up through the season, blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, well, every once in a while, some skinny dudes just, you know, built like that in a different way. You never know.
That's my first time peeping that, actually. It's nothing about his gameplay. It's the size on him.
Yeah. So, that pretty much should wrap up the portal class. Pretty sizable class. You know, we had to bring in a lot to clean up the secondary. You know, we lost a few pieces back there. Measy favorite player Deonte Hill going to Wisconsin. Man, so we traded. I think that trade.
Where did he even go?
Wisconsin. We traded him for Lucas.
Oh yeah.
Well, we got that Carnell kid. I was like, well shit, we got Deonte. We just had Deonte Hill. Same motherfucker coming again. Like, what the fuck? Like, he just do not cover. Like,
boy, Deonte looked. He looked like all heart out there.
Bro,
all heart. I get to him. He had a heart of a champion, man.
Bro, seeing him out there, I would be like, bro, he was smaller than Marquise.
Yeah, he did.
And he just looked so awkward. Like, I was like, Jesus Christ, bro, this is what we down to. One boy trotting out there starting some games. I said, Jesus.
Yeah, shout out, we do better in Wisconsin, man. But I'm with you on that one. He was one that he one of my call anxiety inducing players. As soon as I see him, I go, oh shit,
bro, it's bad news.
I know,
bro,
the play going that way,
and you know the. I was just about to say, you know they going right to him, bro.
Yep, that was Couch, man. Couch was good at coverage, and then you know he beefed up that last year, his last year, and he was way less of a liability. But man, they would run the ball at Couch every time, bro, and it would just drive me nuts. Cause he just couldn't tackle at that point. He got a lot better. He bulked up and got stronger by his last year.
Didn't he play nickel his last year?
Yeah, remember he was what was the number the other short defensive back we had that played pretty good for us. He came from Oklahoma.
Jaden Davis. He went to St. Thomas.
Yeah, he went to St. Thomas.
Yeah, he played at Oklahoma. And then he got drafted late. Arizona.
Yeah, he got picked up.
Arizona took him.
He wasn't bad.
No, he's good for us. He damn sure made plays for us. For sure. He was making plays out there left and right.
Him and Kyle State played good, you know. And that's why I say, man, as much as we want to give heat to DC, he just ain't had his players, man. Like, you had two guys who started in the NFL at safety. You got three other guys who played damn good at corner. Like, Porter played fucking good that year for him. You know what I'm saying? But then last year, like, well, shit, Porter, you get beat. You know what I'm saying? So.
Yeah. He came, I remember we always say, Guidry came to Miami saying, like, his defense runs off his safeties. And if he ain't got, we found out the hard way, if he ain't got no safety, he ain't got no defense with him.
Yeah, what he didn't tell us is he want to do more twists and turns than a spaghetti junction. Like, yeah, that front, D-line, that front line, yeah, that D line was just way too much stunts and twist up front, man. That just took good players and just pulled them out of positions.
And you could tell when they were stunting, they weren't even really comfortable doing it.
Yeah. Well, it's going to be a hell of a lot left of that with Heatherman. It's going to be a lot more, you know, letting Bane and, you know,
Bezador, yeah.
Bezador, yeah. These guys just go to work, yeah, with the guy in front of them, which is what I want to see. It'll be, I think it'll be kind of closer to Manny with left attacking. I don't think you'll see quite the aggression that Manny liked to bring.
It's going to be more, it's going to be more attack, more discipline.
Mm.
And it was like all attack, you know what I'm saying? And then once they get past that, then we fuck. Right.
It could get scary, yeah. Man, and Manny paid off well, you know, a lot of turnovers. He was the guy to help, you know, initiate, you know, brought the chain and all that. That's it. It's because he could produce a lot of turnovers. So turnover chain made a hell of a lot of sense back then. Manny, you changed college football after that, man. I'm going to give you that one. Everybody had to bite that, man. God, that's so crazy to me that, you know, we hung the chain up. And I get it. I wasn't mad at it. I still wanted it, but I understood why it was leaving.
But I knew they was going to hang it up when we was getting our ass handed to us by somebody and we bought the chain that was down.
Alabama. Yeah.
Alabama. We yeah. get out and got an interception and they bought
it. Like, see, and that's the thing. People like, we should have had chain rules. And I'm like, I get it, but it's almost like, nah, keep that same energy. Like if you're going to talk when you – I like people that keep it the same, right? Talk shit when you're beating their ass and talk shit when they whooping their ass. Like, you don't bend or fold. So when you up, it's all good. You huffing and puffing. But if you down, you timid and meek and mild. I like the one that just – hey, nah, I'm still going to talk my shit.
Yeah, but you can't stand on the bench with the chain on and we down 45 types.
Yeah.
Put the chain on and take it off.
It's a hard, but yeah, and it's a hard thing. Like,
when yeah, man, player, take your picture and take it off.
But what was bad too is when they down and the player don't even want to put it on because they get their ass whooped. Player, like, man, don't put that shit on me right now, man. We're getting our ass destroyed.
You know what? You know why I wasn't mad? At first, we getting our ass beat, but then that was a true freshman. So I was like, well, not mad. True freshman, do that shit.
Yeah.
Fourth, fifth year senior. Man, take that shit off your fucking neck, man. What you doing? We get ass beat, you know what I'm saying?
Right.
He came knowing, man, I can't wait to put that chain on.
I think Mario gonna let us have it back one year, but I think we gotta earn it. I think we gotta earn being like Bama had the belt. They could do that because they were that damn tough. So if we get to being that fucking tough, then we'll be allowed to have something like that again. And God bless, God willing, man, it happened for us, man. Lord knows, I've been praying for these days. Y'all boys got anything else?
Man. Only thing I mean, it's great. So recruiting is about to vamp up big time, majorly.
Official business about to start this weekend, places, ain't it?
Yeah, official business finna start. I think like the end of this month, May. May 30th, then June, a very, very, very huge visit date for the Canes.
Let me ask you this, X, since you brought it up. One more five-star in this class? You think we might pull one more?
I got to look at this, the fucking updates because it looked like they took everybody's stars. But
I know we in it for the kid out of Louisiana. The one y'all mentioned a little bit earlier.
Oh, I think Lamar Brown and D-Tackle?
Brown, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, I'm not buying the Lamar Brown stuff.
You ain't feeling that one?
That's one of those LSU things where, you know.
Yeah, that's what I figured too, right?
Yeah, well, they Dylan ain't letting him leave.
Ain't Dylan Day went to that school?
Who?
Dylan Day. Didn't he go to the same school, Lab or whatever? Yeah. I'm pretty sure they went to the same school. Yeah, I mean, I don't believe it either. LSU's spending bread, too. That's the thing. Like I said, what did LSU talk? You don't hear nothing about LSU. And they spending all kind of money in the portal. Are you serious?
No, they spending crazy money.
If Derek, that's one.
Let me see. Let me check the updated rankings. I think he did still remain. I think he did remain a five-star.
Not
Cooper. Now he's a four. He's a four.
No, that was
composite before. Five. He's a composite five. Yeah, number two athlete, number two in Florida, 30 nationally, and 247 got him as a four star, number third nationally, number three athlete, number six in Florida. So he's right on the cusp. So you, yeah, I mean, he would technically be a five
because he'd be a composite five. There, but Calvin Russell still.
Oh yeah, Russell's in the running.
LSU receiver, what's it, Tristan Keys?
He taking an official soon, ain't he?
Who?
He taking an official soon, isn't he?
Who that?
Keys.
Keys.
Yeah, supposed to. I don't know.
He was at the spring game too after he committed.
Yeah.
All right, so that's one. Calvin Russell, Derek Cooper.
You don't think that was over yet? You don't think the Keys thing is done?
Nah. He flirting. Okay. Too much with Miami.
Yeah, when he came to that spring game, I was like, come on, that ain't no for no shits and giggles.
It's funny, X. I felt like that was one of them because, you know, you called Florida State out on a few years ago, too. Because I remember when they got that safety to commit that ended up flipping to Georgia. And everybody said that was going to happen, paying for the commits. That's his commitment smelled like that for me because he was feeling way too good about Miami and then just boom. Wait a minute. Like, he was just feeling great. So I think they bagged him up to go ahead and commit. But then, like, he seemed immediately to be like, oh, I ain't done yet, though. I'm still going to go out here and play the field. So I'm like,
Larry. That's a great point.
That whole energy seemed a little weird to me in that particular recruitment.
There's another five-star, the tight end at Matter Day, I think. Mark Bowman.
Oh, he got bumped, didn't he?
Mark Bowman. He about to take an official to Miami.
Bowman, show. Yeah.
Yeah, he's Bowman. Another. So
he got a chance to land a few more.
It's another offensive lineman in Tampa. I think his name is Johnny Johnson, something like that.
Johnny Jones.
Listen, I swear, I don't know why. If I was Miami, I would have went after just as hard as I went after Jackson. I'd have went after him.
That boy's an athletic freak too. I think he run track being an offensive lineman.
Who talking?
Johnny Jones. He go to Berkeley or Tampa Catholic. One of those two, I think.
Okay. I don't know why I think he was talking about. I'm blanking on his name. And so the heavy kick kid.
And X, you've been. So you think the Calvin Russell shit is dead?
You heard him, X?
Nah, something had happened with my mic. What do you say?
I said, so you basically think the Calvin Russell shit dead?
No, it's not dead. I think Miami's right there, man. But you know, they still got a lot to do.
Is it still a Syracuse thing?
Nah, I think LSU might have jumped in the open the front door with that one.
Okay.
LSU just had a receiver that decommitted from him. I think he decommitted and flipped somebody else.
Yeah, he did.
I think.
What about Florida State?
Florida State with who? Calvin Russell?
Calvin Russell. They got him on. I'm looking at the 247 and they got it as a war. Even heard Florida State round cubs commitment.
I hear Florida up there too, but ain't nobody
going to see Florida on here.
Ain't nobody going to Florida State.
I'm gonna just tell you what they got on I'm looking at 247 right now. They got Syracuse, Miami, and Florida State as warm. They don't even have LSU listed. That's why I'm asking too.
Yeah, I don't know what's going on with that, but I'm just telling you from knowing the family, man. They took a trip to LSU and it was one of those, I guess you could say, like, eye-openers, where they was like, okay, LSU does do this for receivers every year.
Yeah, you can't even say nothing bad about that.
Yeah, nah, it was like, they took the trip, and it was special for them, man. They felt like LSU presented something like, again, they say, hey, we do this for every receiver.
Yeah, but, I mean, again, I be telling people, like, people are acting like it's something in the water. They ain't taking a bunch of bums, a bunch of two-star and three-star scrappers and diamonds in the rough. Odell Beckham Jr. was, what are we talking about?
Like, all them receivers is around like the same area in Louisiana, though, like neighbors.
And they were highly rated. We're not talking about transforming you know, yeah, these diamonds in the rough. We're talking about guys that were supposed to be really good, and they happen to be from the area too. So most of them stay in Louisiana. Yeah. If you're from Louisiana and you like that, you go to LSU.
Oh, so you saying ain't like they took no diamond in the rough, man? These niggas,
yeah, name me a diamond in the rough. They say they're from Ohio State, because again, they don't talk about the Ohio State whiffs. Ohio State doing great at wide receiver, but it's a numbers game. There's a lot of Ohio State running backs a lot of wide receivers, excuse me, that went there that were five-star kids that you totally forgot about.
Yeah.
Because they didn't pan out. They either got over-recruited and transferred. I know one transferred to, I want to say, Cal. I posted it on the 26 account. One transferred, I want to say, to NC State.
One transferred to Penn, and I thought this boy was like the best thing coming out of high school in a minute.
Right, so, and this is the thing. It's numbers. You're going to miss. So it's not that these schools are doing such a great job developing and producing. They keep getting them. If I'm getting a bunch of 6'4", 6'5", wide receivers that can run like antelope, some going to hit. Yeah. What are we talking about? It ain't like they took a bunch of Xavier Restrepo's and put them in the league. Now we're talking. Now he's like, hey, this is an undersized guy. You know, this guy's 5'10", 5'11", 200 pounds. Bro, you talking about antelope, man. Get out of here. You're talking about gazelle. Y'all acting like they're just taking some bum off the street and teaching them how to play football.
Yeah.
Child, please. Jeremiah Smith was the man when he got there. What are we talking about? He already passed Carnell Tate. Remember Carnell Tate was beat shit?
Yeah.
And he's still good. Carnell Tate is not trash by any stretch of imagination.
He just ain't their best receiver no more.
He already ain't their best receiver. You then think Ohio State developed that into Jeremiah Smith?
Then they got Chris Henry coming in next year, the number one receiver.
Oh, man, his dad was a dog, man.
Yeah, he was.
I hope this kid going hoop, man. I remember really liking like Henry, man. That was a tragic story. Yeah, that was a tragic story for him. So I'm really hoping he get to go out there and, you know, put that name back out on the map like that. That'd be
dope. Pac-Man,
yeah, he raised me.
Yeah. I like that whole story for him. I hope he's successful. I hope he excels out there. I ain't gonna hold you.
Yeah. I don't know. All right, that's about it. Real quick, speaking of Ohio State, I think they offered Marvin Harrison's other son. They say he's supposed to be better than June.
Yeah, they just offered him last week or the other day, something like that.
Yeah, they say he might be better than June.
He good. I'm gonna get to him. He good. He young. He good.
Yeah, but he's like 20, 28, I think.
Yeah, but I expect him to be 27. He gonna reclass.
Ah, okay. That's what's up. Yeah, I just saw that story the other day. But anyways, all right, man. Well, we're gonna get up out of here. Appreciate y'all pulling up, tapping in with us. You know, big win on the trail. They ain't supposed to heat up. I think, you know, we might get Cooper to go ahead and commit. Let's get the optics looking better and better.
Uh-huh.
Try to pull this class together, man, and try to get it back in that. We want top five. Top 10 will do, but we really look at top five. And you know, a good winning on the trail can help start getting that going. So hopefully we'll see some more momentum growth from there. We'll be back to holler at y'all later on. Peace.
Peace.
We're going to let the band deal with this.
It's 26 degrees.